So good morning, everybody.
This is, in fact, our 13th podcast, but it might be the first podcast that you will hear, and that has all got to do with when we're sitting here and who I'm sitting with, because it is hay fever season. And this is when I say to people, get ready for hay fever, because what we want to do is make ready and avoid the symptoms. I'd like to introduce my guest here, who's Danny Gill. And I'll tell you how we met. It was actually when I was doing a talk about women's health at MFest. And I was explaining the whole terrain background, how we approach hormone problems and what herbs might be useful, what herbs you can gather in your own neighbourhood or even your back garden. And in the process of which, I don't know how hay fever came up, but somebody maybe asked a question or something.
Yeah, I think the woman who was asking the question said she suffered from hay fever as well.
Yeah. Next thing, I hear this voice from the other side of the room going, oh my God, it was wonderful. I used to suffer terribly from hay fever. I've been using the herbs from Dr. Clare's and now I don't even get it anymore. And she was so vivacious and full of life about it that I thought, I actually said it at the meeting.
Yeah.
It was a lovely meeting. There was about 30 women there. And I said, oh my God, you should be on our podcast. And about 10 days later,
yeah,
here we are.
Here we are.
So I'm going to introduce Danny. Danny is a published poet. She's an artist, and including a visual artist, which I understand to be video and film and sculpture installations. A wood turner, a welder who turned up in her van today. She's an arts producer, a director of our wonderful Corch Literary Festival.
Was director.
That's coming up for those of you who need to watch out for it. It's the Literature Festival. And she's also currently a theatre producer.
Uh-huh. Yes.
With what company?
Decadent Theatre Company. Yeah.
Deglan.
Decadent.
Decadent Theatre Company. Yeah. Okay.
You did the Map the Virgin Female last year in the Arts Festival. So.
Oh, brilliant. Which will bring us on to another little funny bit of this story, which is that I asked her if she would like to arrange a time to do the podcast about gay fever, which we thought was quite funny.
Which I could be an expert in anyways.
So we could both be experts in this. And she also does public art installations. So I'm in awe, really. But we're going to talk about hay fever after all of that. So do you want to kind of tell us what your experience is of using the herbal medicines for hay fever?
So I have been taking the Allertone for the last few years, and I'm in my 30s. But when I was in my 20s, I started to develop hay fever. I hadn't really suffered from hay fever up until my late 20s. Then suddenly I was kind of getting hay fever. I didn't realize initially what it was, but it was very debilitating. And every summer I would be kind of dreading that flare up of the extreme kind of symptoms, and sometimes feeling, you know, looking at the weather and thinking, okay, can't be outside today, pollen count is high and all of that kind of thing. And trying to figure out what was it as well. Is it the grass? Is it the trees? And kind of thinking myself into knot over that probably as well. But I found the Allertone, and that's why I spoke up that day, because it genuinely is amazing. Because before I had taken it, a couple of summers before that, I had missed events. I had missed like festival I was meant to go to. I had gotten a sinus infection because something just like lingered and wouldn't go away. So I had a whole summer of like terribleness with my sinuses. And it was after that that I found the Allertone. And I was told to take it, like you were saying, around now coming into kind of late March, Easter time. And I did. And I got through the whole summer. I didn't take a single antihistamine. I didn't need any nasal sprays. I was completely fine. And like for me, that was miraculous, because I genuinely had been, you know, unwell and like debilitated by it before that. So, and from a GP point of view, you know, like I'd been given the Dymista, I'd been given the antihistamines, told to take the antihistamines. And my understanding, maybe you can kind of say something about that, but my understanding is they say the same thing about you take the antihistamines and they're meant to build up in your system. But I mean, I did that and it didn't really work. I still was getting the symptoms.
And do you want to just tell people what the symptoms were that you were complaining of? I'm sure anybody who's listening to this probably knows already, but if you just spell it out.
Running nose, running eyes, puffy feeling like in my face, under my eyes, all across kind of my cheekbones, a kind of a swollenness inside of your head kind of feeling, and super congested, like just not being able to breathe at all through the nose, and almost, you know, not being able to, no success from, you know, blowing your nose or any of those things, just that constant puffy kind of feeling. And I would have like treated it at the time with like the Sudafed spray and all of that kind of stuff. And those things do give you like relief, but it just, you know, was there. So it was really just kind of masking the symptoms.
Yeah. I think the one that's the preventer from a medical point of view is the steroid inhalers. And you use those to dampen down the inflammation on a continuous basis, right? And then there's various other salt sprays and antihistamine sprays, and they can be used as necessary. There's a danger with the Sudafed ones that are based on an ephedrine that they become sensitized, and it actually exacerbates the problem. So those ones are definitely to be used only in emergency situations. Did it affect your sleep?
Yes.
All right. So anything that affects your sleep is a big problem.
And my eyes, because I'm light sensitive anyway.
Yeah.
But I would find that even looking at screens, say for work now or something, I had to look at a screen, that was more difficult as well, because I was really feeling it in my face, the pressure kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Because you can get headaches as well.
Yeah. Did it affect your digestion at all? Or you don't have to tell me your life story, but do you generally have problems with digestion? Because they're often linked.
Yeah. Well, you love this. I, from the age of 12, started getting chest infections. And at the time, there was no talk of probiotics or the use of antibiotics. I was given 3 to 4 courses of antibiotics every year from age 12 to 20. So by the time I got that far, 24, like I got pneumonia, pleurisy. So I had this big history with my chest, inhalers, kind of asthmatic. And when I went to college, I was very frustrated at that point with doctors. Just because it was very frustrating to continuously be sick like that. And the treatment seemed to be, you know, addressing the symptoms and not sort of, you know, a cause. Or I wanted to kind of know, what could I do? And I'd gone for cupping and I'd gone for acupuncture. Actually, they gave me a lot of relief. But also at that time, there was a lot of cynicism too about anything holistic. So it was sort of like, oh, you can do that, but it may not do anything. So when I kind of got into my 20s, I tried to address that myself through more kind of natural means, and I had success with that. So there would have been a history of kind of asthma. And then I think because I was on so many antibiotics as well, I would have had like symptoms of IBS in my teens, in my 20s.
Yeah. This is a very common history with or without the antibiotics, is that there is, like if somebody comes to me with allergies, eczema or asthma or hay fever, I say, I don't ask if they have problems with their digestion. I ask, what problems with digestion do you have? And the reason is very simple, because the mucous membrane in the nose, going back to the back of the mouth, down the throat, extends into the bronchus from behind and all the way down the digestive system. So this is all one system. That's not divided into ear, nose and throat. So if somebody has problems, even if it's intermittently to do with the seasons and aggravation by a foreign proteins, then the underlying problem is there just waiting to happen. Okay, so it's manifesting that there is an underlying problem, and it's common to have digestive problems. That's why herbs like chamomile and plantago that are included for hay fever, they also settle and nourish the mucous membranes of all the digestive system.
Yeah.
What surprises me is that the Allertone, for something that severe, the Allertone by itself worked without using herbal tea infusions almost from Christmas, right, when it's that severe.
I did a couple of dietary things as well, but I don't know what you think about that or if you think they have an impact. But I mean, I know a lot of people who have issues either with their lungs or sinuses will avoid dairy, or at least excessive dairy. I was told by, you know, Chinese medicine people to also consider the gluten intake and the white, all of that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah. I do the biggest dietary advice that I give people is don't eat an awful lot of anything. have the widest variety of fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, olive oil, lots of greens, and avoid having too much of anything. So for that reason, I advise people who are taking a lot of dairy to have a variety of what are now called milks, but they are very a comfort in people's tea, right? It makes it more pleasant for them. So variety. The issue with wheat is not always to do with gluten. It's actually got to do with the hybridization of wheat, so that the proteins are different in the last 50 years. The amount of wheat that people eat, sometimes people eat Weetabix for breakfast and a sandwich for lunch and pasta for tea. So it's the amount that's just too much. So often people can eat spelt, which is another form of wheat, but it's more primitive and hasn't been hybridized to the same extent. So often just reducing it. I don't like people going on extreme diets for something that happens for a brief seasonal part of the year. It's hard to find researched information on milk to do with congestion, but this is where I think the N equals one experiments are very useful. So you have milk for your usual milk in your diet. You stop it for 4 to 6 weeks and then reintroduce it. And that gives you the information for you.
Yes.
You don't really care about the rest of the people while you're snuffling and, you know, full of inflammation. You're, how do I make this better? So that's very good science. If you really want to finish the experiment, you can reintroduce the milk. You can do another round of leaving it out, and you need to keep a diary because we forget. So that might be a helpful thing for people, rather than automatically going on, and often more expensive milks as well, doing that for years and years and years. So, and that can be a very useful thing to do. So do you want to know what's in the...
Yes.
The just so that people know, there's herbs that we have blended together, that I have blended together, because people came into my clinic and said, what can I do for hay fever? And my staff aren't herbalists. So I made these blends of herbs, and they were behind the counter until one of my patients said, you should put those in the front of the shop so that people know that they're there. And I said, oh, yeah, I must do that. And, you know, 6 months later, a year later, 18 months later, nothing done. This was the days of floppy disks.
Okay.
Right. So another day she came in and she had the floppy disk with all the labels done on it. So that's how this whole thing started, right? So I blended teas. I'm not a genius, right? This has nothing got to do with Dr. Clare. This has actually got to do with if I went to a herb fair in Sarajevo, which I did, or in anywhere in Poland or any of the Eastern European country, because we've forgotten. They're still very much alive in these countries. They would have very similar blends. This is common knowledge, only, you know, it's a bit like common sense. It's not very common. And we've lost the run of ourselves. And some of these herbs are all around us, right? So in the tea, there's plantago, which is ribwort. Plantago lanceolata or plantago majora, if you want to look up the pictures. And it's everywhere in Ireland. Everywhere. You're walking on it every day. And it is one of our national treasures, right? It's cooling, soothing, nourishes the mucous membranes. And I'll go into why these are so effective afterwards. There's chamomile, which soothes the digestion, soothes the brain. We're all overheated in our heads. And it enhances that gut-brain axis so that we're calmer and cooler in general. Elderflowers are nourishing, calming and soothing for the mucous membranes. Also antiviral. So there's a connection between poor immune function in all of these mucous membranes and catching viruses. So it's a very good overlap. Nettle puzzled me for a long time because of the sting is full of histamine. You know, you release histamine. And people who have a lot of allergies have a very high level of cells rupturing and releasing a lot of histamine. And then I realized actually that leaves them very depleted in the blood, in the cells, because the cells are rupturing. So at last I thought, this is what has happened with the herbs. You know, I kind of go, why does that do that according to the science? That doesn't make sense. But I know because my patients come back and tell me. And centuries of herbalists have recorded it. So I'm kind of going, well, I'll go along with that. And then I'll read something scientifically and go, ah, now it makes sense. But it's that way round, rather than science proves it. And then 10 years later, somebody disproves it. And then another 5 years later, they prove it again. And in science, you tend to take the last one as gospel instead of combining all of the evidence. Okay, so that's a little aside. And the other one is marigold. And marigold is soothing, healing, antifungal, because there may well be a fungal element to some of this. So this is in the tea. So we usually water, especially if it's mild to moderate, the tinctures work out at, what, 17 euros a week? Yeah. I'm very practical. The teas work out at about the same for 2 weeks, right? So if people have mild to moderate symptoms, I would suggest using the tea until the hay fever symptoms start. Then keep taking the tea and add in the tincture blend. Now, there's lots of other herbs that are helpful. And people can, we could also have these individually, or they can get it from their own local suppliers, right, individually, make up this blend and take 3 teaspoons a day, okay? We have it in loose tea, and we also have it in 3 teaspoon sachets, which I find the compliance is just so much better. Yes. It's revolutionized it, because you just put it in your flask or your cafetiere, soak these overnight, because you get better value for money, right, because they've longer to infuse rather than drinking them after 3 minutes. And you can then keep them in a vacuum flask if you like it warm.
Yeah.
Or you can just put it in your water bottle and it's your water throughout the day. Okay. So they're the teas that I use. And they're very accessible in any, you know, for people, not the most expensive herbs. They don't come from Peru that have been fermented 3 times over to make them more complicated and therefore more expensive. And we actually make them in Galway. You know, we actually make these tea bags down at the clinic.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So the blend of herbs that we use, and there, so there are lots of other ones, is bladderwrack. I'll come back to that one. Nettle leaf. Dandelion root. Now, a lot of the problem for the digestion and therefore all of the mucous membranes comes from inefficient motility to do with the bile and the digestive enzymes. So for detoxing, you also create a huge amount of work for the body with all of these allergies.
Yeah.
Right. As you can imagine, you're exhausted, I should think. More chamomile. Cornflower is another one of our native herbs that's anti-inflammatory. So there's a lot of inflammation. Marshmallow, soothing, cooling and nourishing for the digestive tract and all of the mucous membranes. Elderflowers, we've talked about before, and eyebright. Now, eyebright is specific to the hay fever because so many people get problems with their eyes. And here's some practical tips to wear sunglasses during the high pollen and the ones that are like the cyclists wear, or your swimming goggles, if you don't mind looking a bit silly. Anything that will wrap around your eyes and actually protect it from being directly assaulted, yes, by the pollen. So that can be a useful one as well. And the other thing is, if you put Vaseline all around the eyes, on the eyelid, obviously not in the eyes, guys. So all around the rim of the eye, it can trap the pollen and lead to less exposure. And combining the two of those obviously does a lot to protect the eyes. So, I said I'd mention about the seaweed, because I needed to remind myself this morning, why did I put bladderwrack in there? Because there's good, because a lot of vegetables now do not have the same amount of trace minerals in particular,
yeah,
since the 1950s, because it's not in the bags of fertilizer. If it's not in the bags of fertilizer, then it's not in the soil. It seems so obvious, doesn't it? But seaweeds, so long as it's in a clean sea, and hey, guys, we're living in the Wild Atlantic Way, then the brown seaweeds can modulate both parts of the immune system, the innate immune system and the adaptive immune system. And it also stabilizes the mast cells. And the mast cells, I have to do this on camera. When people say, what happens with allergies? What I show them this, that it's like if you have 3 cells, like my face is 1 cell and this is another cell, this is another cell. What happens when you're exposed to these allergens is that all of the insides of this cell go into your bloodstream. And a lot of that is the histamine and a whole host of other cells. And that creates inflammation. So it's like your underlying, the reason for these strengthening all of the mucous membranes is that it strengthens the cell walls in advance of the assault.
Okay.
And improves your immunity. And it's great doing it on camera because otherwise I can't. It's very difficult to explain that to people. But that's a lot of how we view things as herbalists. What's happening in the cells so that they're manifesting symptoms in people. So when people come and tell you their symptoms, they're telling you the clues as to what's happening at cell level. And the really clever part of the cell is the cell wall, right? Not the nucleus. The nucleus keeps going after we die. The cell walls stop working. Okay. That is the life force of the cell, not the nucleus. The nucleus stores all of the hardware.
Yeah.
Right. So the communication is all in the cell walls.
And I think that's super impressive. Then the ingredients are all native.
Are they all native? These ones are. They're not always in the blends that I've put together. But these ones are. Oh, isn't that lovely? And everybody, you can go. When people come in June or July buying dried nettles, I go, get off up the field. Pick some nettles. Don't be coming in here spending your money, really. You know, we've had the clinic for 25 years. And the philosophy behind everything I do with the herbs is to make them as accessible to people and in their neighborhood and in their environment and connect. Right. The disadvantage of the tea sachets is that people don't get to feel the herbs.
Yeah.
Right. But the advantage is that they'll actually take them into their bodies.
Yeah.
Right. So, and often people use a mixture of the loose and the sachets. Like if they're going away for a weekend, they might use the sachets. And if they're at home, they're just as happy to put the loose tea blend or to buy, if they might have nettles and they might have elderflowers and they can buy a bag of plantain. Because people don't always recognize that one is so useful, or they might not have access to marigolds. So they can have three of the herbs and they're equal proportions. That's useful to know as well. And there's lots of other herbs as well. I go in and I kind of go, what goodies can I put in? And I can take out 10 and then I have to go, this one does three jobs.
Yeah.
Right. And that one only does one. So you're refining it down. Yeah. And it's the same with individualized. When I see patients, you know, I could choose from 35 herbs, but I'm looking for main actions and then I'm looking for overlapping actions.
Yeah.
I call them the twofers and the threefers. Two for the price of one. Actions.
Anyone I know who gets hay fever is taking antihistamines regularly and sometimes all the time from now until September.
Yeah.
So by taking the Allerton anyway, for me, it did work. I didn't have to take antihistamines.
And if people do need, I wouldn't claim that this is the effect it will have on everybody. But year on year, you get decreasing symptoms. Okay. And if you combine the tea with the tincture, you get a better effect if it's very severe. Some people, just the tea is all they need.
Yeah.
You know,
I haven't even had the tea. I'll be in for
Tastes nice too, actually. Mm. Yeah, not all my teas taste nice because they're chosen for the effect that they'll have. And sometimes I need a bitter effect.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Great.
So the stuff is in the shop and you ship as well, do you?
Yep. It's online.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. Well, I say buy it. I say buy all of the things. Buy all of the things.
I have to say, you're not paid for this. She volunteered and it was her enthusiasm and the effectiveness of it. And I'm not claiming that it'll be as effective with anybody. This is very down to earth. Ground roots. Yeah, yeah. But persistence, it makes a big difference. You know, if it calms it down 20% the first year, you know, 40% the second year, but a lot of people, they can manage their lives much better the first year.
Yes.
The second year, by the third year, they're going, maybe I won't need it this year. They usually need it that third year, and then maybe not. So everybody is individual.
Yeah. And but I think the thing about hay fever is if people suffer from hay fever, they know it's a thing. They kind of expect it. And like you say, they might be dealing with it for maybe 4 months or 5 months.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it can be an ongoing kind of low level health issue. So I think taking something that is potentially going to even lessen that over a number of years just makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's so much of your year.
Yeah.
And I found, particularly in those summers, I felt I missed out on my summer because of hay fever.
And we're in Ireland. We need the sun.
Yeah.
We need to be outside on those days.
But it's almost a disadvantage that it can linger and stay with you for one or two seasons of the year. It's not like people who get hay fever aren't having hay fever and then they're totally fine the next day or the next week. It's usually ongoing for people. So I think in that sense, like taking something that will lessen it is just a total no-brainer.
Now, if somebody has a lot of digestive problems and underlying the hay fever, or very complicated, even like hormone balance, like we were talking at MFest, then that indicates that there's more going on and they really should see a clinical herbalist, you know, wherever they are. Yeah. So that's important. So we do online appointments, but I say to people, if you have a good, well-qualified local herbalist, I would prefer you would go to them.
Yeah.
Right. But the online does work. And, you know, a lot of people do every second or third appointment in the clinic then, because that definitely is better.
Mm. Great.
I really would like to thank you for coming in. And that was very interesting for me as well. And I'll definitely be looking up your poetry and your artwork and, you know, wishing you well and all of that, because it just enhances our lives. Like the herbs enhance people's lives. But all of this artistic endeavor is just so inspiring. And it's one of the reasons I love living in Galway.
We look forward to you joining us on this journey of exploration and learning with the herbal doctor, Dr. Dealish Clare. And we'll be back with you very soon. So thank you very much, and stay tuned.